How many enjoyed that worship service? That was pretty impressive, I think. I mean, it spoke my message. So I can just sit down and you guys will be so blessed. It was so good, so good. So nice to see you all. How are you doing? Doing well. Well, I am also. I'll tell you how I'm doing. Am I ready? I'm dead. Well, you're going to have to trust me, folks. I have some really good slides. Isn't that great? The first one you saw was a black cow in the dark. Christ in me, that's my message today. I want to tell you, I am so glad to hear that you are doing well, because some people are not. Some people have issues. Some people have trouble, struggles. Some people are dealing with all kinds of things, but I want you to know we can do well in Christ because Christ is in us. So my message this morning is about Christ in me. And I want to tell you how I'm doing. I want to tell you how I'm doing. I'll turn this on. Now let me tell you how I'm doing. I'm living the dream. How many people have ever heard me say that? That I'm living the dream. Sounds cliche, doesn't it? Sounds like, oh, that's just a pat answer. Somebody says, how you doing, Tom? I'm living the dream. Well, I want you to know, I really am living the dream. It's not cliche with me. It's the real deal. And I have reasons for that. Here's the first and foremost, right here. Look at that. Those are my five grandchildren. Now, those that knew me when I was raising my kids, I had four boys. Four boys. My wife wanted a daughter so badly. Didn't happen. Well, I can't totally say that. One of my sons, he liked shopping and all of the adornments so much that he was my girl. But I want you to look. I have four beautiful granddaughters and one amazing grandson. If that's not living the dream, I don't know what is on this earth. Because those grandkids think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And you know why? Because I have them buffaloed. I have them convinced that there's no one in the world like me. And they're young enough that they haven't figured out that I'm just telling stories. That is pretty awesome. But I want to talk to you this morning about how I can say that I'm living the dream. How I can be so positive all the time. How I can have that outlook in my life. Because number one, I am a positive person. I am a person who looks on the sunny side of life, if you will. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason why I can say that. Last month, I had someone ask me, in the church, ask me, so how can you be so positive all the time? How can you always be upbeat all the time? Because sometimes people can't do that. Sometimes people have issues. Sometimes people have problems that are weighing them down. Things that happen in their life that were not their fault, but they still have to deal with it. How can you always be so positive? And I can understand my pat answer of, oh, I'm living the dream, can seem a little disingenuous, can seem a little putting on a face, can seem a little like, well, he's just saying things because that's what I want to hear. Or that's the face he puts on because, you know, he is an actor. And as an actor, he can just put something out there. But I can tell you, I'm living the dream, and I was able to share with this person a little bit about my past, a little bit about my life growing up, the family that I came from, the things that happened in my life with my children, with my parents, and know that not everything that happens in a person's life is positive. There are certain things that happen in our life through no fault of our own affect our life for the rest of our lives. And they can be good or they can be bad. And you can make lemons. You can take lemons and be sour, or you can take lemons and make lemonade and be happy. And those are the things that we have to work through ourselves. Does that make sense? One person thinks it does. So I'm so glad to hear, whoever you are on this side of the church, I'm going to find you at the end of this, and we're going to just rejoice together. The worship service this morning was all about who Jesus is and who God is in our life. And that's what I want to address today. Because it all starts with knowing who you are. Who am I? Do you ever ask that question? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I in Christ? Who am I in my life? Who am I in my walk with Jesus? Just who am I? Who am I? We're not the first people to ask that question. I mean, everybody does at some point. I remember when I was young, and I was trying to decide, what am I going to do for my career? Boy, that was a tough thing to work through. And I want you to know, what I started with was not what I finished with. I started doing this, and somewhere in there, it changed, and I ended up doing this, and I did that for the rest of my career, and I was very happy with that. But it wasn't what I started doing. My son, my eldest son now, he started out, he wanted to be a math professor. He went to school, and his goal, I'm going to be a math professor. And he started in that realm. And then he had people from the engineering department coming and talking with him and saying, hey, we don't get this math. And so he would help them do the math problems. And he got, well, that wasn't that bad. So then he started looking at what engineers made and what math professors made. And he goes, I think I'm going to be an engineer. Changed his path. And now two of those beautiful granddaughters are mine. Where did he meet his wife? In college. In fact, her dad was one of his professors. Very crazy. Who am I? That is not a bad question. That's a good thing for us to ask, because we need to realize who we are so that we can become who we're meant to be. So we start with, who am I? And if you look in Scripture, there are people in the Bible who ask the same question. People that we know and we look at and we think, man, that is a person who had so much power in their life and so much ability, but at the time, they didn't know who they were. The first one I can think of is a guy named Moses. Now, before I get to Moses, let me just talk to you about who I am. One of the most important things that we need to learn about ourselves is who we are. Who we are. Children seem to do a lot better at that than adults do. Children figure out who they are pretty early in life. My granddaughters, they know, they rule the roost. Especially when I'm there. I mean, they have me wrapped around their fingers so tight that I have no control. They run the house. Things that I would have gotten in trouble for when I was a kid, I think are cute when they do it. What's up with that? What is that? Grandparenting is an amazing job. Boy, that's awfully quiet because I see people out here who are grandparents. Grandparenting is an amazing job because I see those beautiful little cherubs most of the time. And I hold them. Now, you got to know, I'm not a baby holder. I mean, there are people, Malcolm, oh, God love his heart. Malcolm will go sit in the nursery and he'll hold babies and he's in heaven. I can't do that. I can't. It's not my calling. But there is just something about my grandchildren that I'll hold them and I'll weep, I'll cry, and I'm just amazed because they're a part of me. There's a little bit of me in there. Not a lot, but a little bit. And they're cute, and I give them a lot of grace, and I give them a lot of freedom. And then when they get really, really ornery, I tell them, I'm going to tell your mom and dad. And it works really well. Many teens, on the other hand, they struggle with trying to figure out who they are. Because, you know, when they're kids, we tell them who they are. We tell them how wonderful they are and what they do. But then they've got to establish themselves in their own life. They grow up and they start saying, well, I want to be the guy or the girl that I'm supposed to be. And we as parents, we have to try and walk that fine balance of, yes, you can have that freedom, but no, not too fast, not too fast, not too fast. And it's a hard time for teenagers trying to figure out who they are. And then there are adults who are still trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out where their place is in life, what it is they're supposed to do, who it is they're supposed to be with, what it is that God has planned for them. And sometimes those are some of the hardest ones to figure out is when once we become adults and we get into that part of our life. I had a buddy. His name was, you may know him, Mike Dory. How many remember Mike Dory? Mike Dory. He was my pal. He worked for me. And I have so many stories about that man. He was absolutely wonderful. The most open, the most faithful guy. And he worked for me, and then he decided to retire. And his goal was, you know, go into retirement. He had things in mind, but I remember one day he came back. I must be really, really hot. Thanks, brother. That was an easy compliment to pull. That was good. I remember him coming back to my office, and he came in and he goes, Tom, I'm floundering in retirement. I'm floundering because I've always been identified by what I do. And I don't do that anymore. I'm having a hard time. I don't know who I am. Because it's always been, I was Mike, the lead custodian. I was the Mike that did this and this. He goes, I don't have that anymore. I have to reestablish who I am. So it's not a bad question to ask. We just need to ask it as we pursue who it is and what it is we're supposed to do. Now I want to talk to you about a guy named Moses. Moses? In Exodus 3, 10 and 11, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I that I should go? Now, this is the guy who was what? Born of the Israelites, put into the Nile River, drawn out, raised as a son of Pharaoh. He's a guy who's lived the life of power and of strength. Realizes he's an Israelite, makes a mistake, kind of murders a guy. You know, that's kind of a downside. Gets kicked out of Egypt. And he's now, what, 40 years old? And then he goes and he lives in the desert. And then God calls him to go back and free his people from the land of Egypt. And he goes, who am I to do that? Who am I? They're not going to listen to me. I was kicked out. They're not going to listen. I can't even talk well. I stutter, Lord. Why would you pick me? Who am I that you would pick me? Did I add it? I did not. Who am I? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that you, this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses, a type of Christ, the guy who was their first deliverer. He was the first one to lead them out of captivity. He was the first one that's noted there. Moses, I can't talk in front of people, God. What does the scripture say? I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And God says, who gave human beings their mouths? Isn't it me? Now go, and I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And Moses still, oh, please, God, send somebody else. He did not realize who he was because he wasn't looking at who he was with God with him. He was looking at who he was based upon his vision, who he saw himself as. He saw himself as somebody who got kicked out of Egypt. He saw himself as somebody who was told, if you come back, we'll kill you. I mean, that's a deterrent. That's a deterrent. How many of you would have come to church today if they said, you walk through that door? Yeah, I'm going. That's a joyous place to be. Sometimes finding out who we are isn't as comfortable as you might think. But Moses did it. He went on. Moses knew where he came from. He knew he was an Israelite, but he didn't know who he was with God in his life. And then there's another great guy, King David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord God? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough, in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men." David says, "Who am I that you would pick me?" Now, I got to tell you, there are times I wonder that too. Who am I that God would pick me? Because he did. He picked me. I didn't pick him. He was looking for me long before I was looking for him. He was reaching out to me long before I said, yes, I'm ready to do that. He knew who I was. What does the Bible say? I knew you when you were in the womb. I knew you before you even thought of me. I knew what you needed. I knew how to take care of you. I provided things for you. You just didn't even realize what I was doing at the time. God in our life makes us who we should be. So who am I? Who am I? Remember the conversation I talked to you about, I had about a month ago with somebody? And they said, how can you be so positive? Well, I was able to share with them a few things, and I'll just quietly share with you some of the things I spoke with this person about. I know the family I grew up in. I know what shaped my life. I know the father that I had. I know the mother that I had. I know the background I came from. And this person did not know my dad was an alcoholic, did not know some of the things that happened in my family as a child, some of the things that I saw, some of the things that I heard, some of the things that I said, I'm never going to do that because I don't want to be that person. Now, don't get me wrong. My dad was a great guy for about 40 minutes of the day before he had drunk too much. My dad was a wonderful man for a little while. But sometimes after he had drunk enough, it wasn't my dad anymore. It was my dad under the influence of some other drug. And I lost out on a lot because of that. Now, I had other members of my family that filled in a gap for me. You know, my dad never took me to church, but my brother did. My brother, who a lot of people think was my dad. I run into people all the time out in the community and say, yeah, I saw your dad. And I'm thinking, my dad died a lot of years ago. It was my brother. But I look back on my life, it was my brother that took me to Sunday school when I was a child. It was my brother that saw to it that I went to church all the time. And my brothers filled in a gap that my dad was not able to provide. But this person didn't know my dad was an alcoholic. I know what it is to face illness and death in my family. I know what it is. I've seen it in a member of my family, and I lost a loved one who a parent is never supposed to see die before them. That's not how things are supposed to work. It's supposed to be, I live a long life. I'm just reminding God, I want to live a long life. I live a long life and then I pass before my children do. It doesn't always work that way. I lost a child at 11 years old. But you know what? That didn't destroy me. Made me stronger. Gave me compassion for people who have lost people. Because you see, I'm learning who I am based upon what happened to me or through me. I know what it is to be considered a low-income family. I can never say I was poor, because I look around the world at people who are poor. I was never poor. But there were times I didn't have a lot of money. I can remember being on unemployment for 18 months. 18 months, that's a long time. I was out of work for 18 months. My wife told me she thought I was a bum. Couldn't find a job. Leaned on God a lot. Leaned on a lot of people a lot. I know what it's like not to have plenty. I know what it is to make mistakes. Anybody here never made a mistake in your life? That was the right answer. I've made mistakes. And I still carry scars from some of those mistakes. I've got one on this finger. See that beautiful, long, almost matching finger? Yeah. It's got a really nice line across there, about the same width of a saw blade. I know what it is to have mistakes in my life, and I carry the scars from it. I've got a scar on another finger over here. Tossing a hatchet. See how many times it'll spin and I can catch the handle. You know what happens when you don't catch the handle? You get another scar. And now I can tell my grandkids, don't do that. Don't do that. I know what it is to make mistakes in my life. I know what it is to not be perfect. And I know it's hard for you to believe I'm not perfect. But I'm not perfect. I have flaws. Some of you know them. And I thank you for being quiet. But through Jesus, I can be better than I am without Jesus. Because without Jesus, the flaws show. Without Jesus, those things become more apparent. But because of Jesus in my life, I can be in a crowd and they can overlook my flaws. The fact that I'm not as tall as Tim or just about anybody in the room. There are children that are shorter than I am, but not many. Your 5-year-old was taller than me. So I know my shortcomings. I know my mistakes. I know who I am because I know where I came from. I know my failures. I know my shortcomings. But to truly know who I am, I need to know who God is in my life. Because without God in my life, I am nothing. Without God in my life, I'm pretty worthless. Without God in my life, I have to accept all of those things that formed me, and there's nothing to make me better. but I have God in my life. So my next question is, who is God? Who is God? Who is God in your life? Have you realized who he is, and have you asked him to help you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Are you aware that it is his desire for you to excel? It is his desire for you to prosper? It's his desire for you to succeed? For you to be victorious? Are you aware that that is who God is? Let me read you. I don't have these up. Let me just read you some scriptures. And these are chronological. But just let me read some to you and see if you get an idea of who God is. Worship team sang about who God is this morning. My goodness. I could have called and said, this is what my message is about, and you could have sang those songs. It was so apropos. Deuteronomy 4:31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. 2 Chronicles 30:9. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Job 36:5. God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregation of the Lord's people, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. 1 John 1:5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Each of these verses speak to the attributes of God, who God is. Each of these verses speak to the goodness of God. Let me encourage you with a couple of verses where God tells you who he is in your life. Isaiah 43:25. even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Remember the mistakes I said I made in my life? What does that say? I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Not because of me, but because of God. Because of who God is, he blots those out. And he doesn't remember them anymore. He doesn't remember them anymore. There is no condemnation in God because once he blots them out, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Never to be remembered against me anymore. God is so good. God loves us so much. I just want to instill in you who God is. God is a loving God. Now, I have a son who his image of God was, he's just this guy waiting for me to mess up and he's going to hit me on the head with a hammer. That's what he told me. That was the image I had of God. That if I mess up, he's just waiting for an opportunity to discipline me. But I want you to know, as a father, as a grandfather, that's not it at all. That's not it. When my grandkids make a mistake, I want them to know how much I love them, even though they made a mistake. My children, I want you to know, my children, they made a few mistakes in their life. There were some things that they did that I didn't agree with as a parent. I struggled with some of the things that they did. But that doesn't change the fact that I loved them. That doesn't change the fact that when they needed me, I made sure I was there. And even that was not always a comfortable process. Even that was not always joy and happiness. But the end result is two of those little granddaughters that you saw in that picture, they're the reason I let that boy live. There is always a blessing in the end. All you've got to do is look for it. I tell him now, he is my hero. He is my hero. Some of the things that he has overcome in his life, I am in awe of. And he will tell me. He tells me the only way that I was able to get through that is because I had a safe place and a family that loved me. Now, I want you to look around in this house right here. This is a safe place and a family that loves you. Oh, that was quiet. This is a safe place. And there are family members here who love you. And remember, God is love. He is a loving God. He does not want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He is someone who wants to see you succeed. He is someone who wants to take away the guilt in your life. He is somebody that wants to see you figure out who you are and place yourself into a place where you can be a servant to others. Because it's not about me. It's about him. It's not about me. It's about you. My purpose on this planet is not just to be a sunflower standing out in a field. My purpose here is to be a servant of other people because we need each other. Because if I'm standing like a sunflower out in the field, what happens? I stand there, I bloom, and then the birds come and eat my seeds and I die. What is the purpose in that? However, if I'm here looking for an opportunity to serve other people, I would be willing to wager you will find opportunity to serve. If you want to be a blessing to somebody else, all you have to do is extend that out a little bit, and God will take that, and he will bless that, and he will multiply that, and more people will be blessed because of you than you can even imagine. All you have to do is be willing. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So who is God? Oh, another verse. Let me do this one. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnants of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Now, I know this is written to a very specific group of people during a time of exile, but this is very true for you and me today. This is very true for you and me, because he's the same God for them as he is for me. And he wants the same things in my life. He wants the same things in your life so that you can live a very victorious and productive life and feel like you belong to something that really matters. Because we cannot be, I'm quoting somebody else here, we cannot be Lone Star Christians. We have to be a part of a bigger group. So who is God? He's the one who saves us from our sins. He's the one who heals us. He goes before us. He carries us. He sustains us. He rescues us. He's our rock, our strength, our peace, our justice, our wisdom, our deliverer. God is love, and God is always, always faithful. So then the next question that I have is, who am I in Christ? Who am I in Christ? Who does Jesus say that I am? How do I establish who I am in Christ? What am I looking for? What is the criteria for that? How can I fit in? How can I be of the most service to those that are around me? How can I lift somebody up today? How can I be a part of a blessing on people that I don't even know? Well, it's because of Christ in me. Christ in me. John 15 through 17. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. What did I say a while ago? I didn't choose God. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my commandment. Love each other. Love each other. That's not hard, is it? Is it hard to love each other? What if they're unlovable? How many know people that are unlovable? You do. Whoa, close to home. How many know people that are unlovable, or you think they're unlovable? I don't think there's anybody that is unlovable. I think there are people that in our own eyes may appear to be unlovable, but God loves everybody. God loves everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how old you are. How many saw the age gap on the worship team this morning? How old is Charity? He doesn't even know. 15? He says almost. Oh, that's almost. She's 13 days shy of being 15. Isn't that awesome? Ron on the cello is also 15. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. You can serve God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you wear a hat or don't wear a hat. It doesn't matter if you have hair or you don't have hair. It doesn't matter who you are. If you want to serve, there is a place for you. I used to be a theater director. That's what I did in life. Well, it's one of the things I did in life. I directed high school theater. And I remember one time I was casting a play. And the play had 13 roles. 13. It's not a lot. 13 characters in the play. And I had 39 kids audition. 39 for 13 roles. And I'm a guy that thinks, man, I don't want to turn anybody away. Does that sound like God? I don't want to turn anybody away. So I went to my principal and I said, you know, I'd like to add a second weekend of shows, and I'd like to double cast this show so that I can get more kids involved. And my principal says, can you do that? And I said, yeah, I can do that. More work on my part. But you know what? I did. I double cast the show. I had different people in different parts. And you know what? The show is the same, right? You follow what the script says. So the lines are the same, but the people are different. So I had two different shows, and I would tell people, if you want to see this show, you got to come at least twice. You do, because you got to see cast A and cast B. Because even though the lines are the same, the shows are totally different because we have different people playing the roles. In one version, the antagonist and the protagonist were male. In the other version, the antagonist and protagonist were female. Totally different concepts. Totally played differently. They were so separate, but they were oh so good, because they brought their strengths to the role that they played. They brought their talents and offered it up. And all I had to do was say, I think you'd be good in that role. And I think you'd be good in this role. And then I would just mold them and try and get them to, because my job as a director is just to bring out the best that they already possess. And you know what? That's what Jesus does in our life. He takes the talents that we already possess, the things that we already have within us that we can give to other people, and he can take you over here, and he can take you over here, and he can send you both to the same group, and you can tell the same story, but you have differences in your background than you have in your background. And so your stories are going to be about what happened with you, and your stories are going to be about what happened with you. And even though the lines are the same, the experiences are different, and you're going to reach a different person than you are. That is why I can stand here today and say, I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know who God is with me. And I know what God wants to do with me, because I figured out who I am. Who is Christ? Who am I in Christ? Let me go on. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. How many people here have ever felt like you're under a lot of pressure? Felt like you're under more pressure than you can even bear. Felt like the weight of this world is so heavy on me, I just don't know if I can get through this. It can be employment. It can be family issues. It can be just money to survive by. It can be relationships. There are things that affect us in our life. But according to Corinthians, what does it say? We are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. These are promises of God. God does not want us to be unsuccessful. He does not want us not to succeed. He does not want us to fail. He wants us to be, the best word is, he wants us to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. I look at what Jesus did. I look at the people that he talked to. I looked at how he would go out and say, oh, I need to go talk to this person today. And he goes and he starts talking to this lady and she says, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You don't even talk to people like me. But what was it Jesus said? I must needs go to Samaria. Well, that's King James. NIV, it says, I need to go there. I need to go talk to this person. How many know that when you get an opportunity to share with somebody what God has done in your life, it may be the exact thing they need to hear that day? Because there are people in this world who are struggling. There are people in this world who need to know that somebody cares. Somebody cares. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow. Acts 13:39. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are free. No condemnation. Nothing in my past overshadows me. I am free in Christ Jesus, and I'm free to know what my gift is in Christ Jesus, because I have spent so much time trying to figure out how can I best serve people around me. And I know what my gift is. My gift, number one, no, that doesn't work. My gift is encouragement. I believe that God has called me to encourage people because I meet a lot of people who need encouragement. I meet a lot of people. You got to know, my greatest ministry is boating. Boating. Every summer I go boating. I've been out 11 times this summer out on the river. I only go in the summer because, you know, my wife likes sun and I don't fish. We go out boating. But we don't go out boating alone. Going boating alone, my wife and I, not that I don't like her company. I think she's the most awesome woman in the world. But there's something about being out in a boat, in the river, in nature, God above us, getting to share with other people how much we love and we care about them. That's the best ministry I have. And I do it a lot. There are a number of you here that have been out on our boat. There are some of you that we've invited and you've said, no, I can't go today, but you're on our list. Because why? Because we want to bless other people. We want to see other people, maybe for just a moment in their life, get away from the cares of the world that are just weighing them down. Because there are a lot of people that are under a lot of weight. And we would just love to be a part of the group that can help lift some of that. So yeah, I'm living the dream, baby. I am living the dream. And I want the whole world to know why. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I want to be a part of that blessing. I want to be a part of what God is doing in our community, in our life, with people that we know. 1 John 3:19 through 21. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. It is his desire that you not carry that burden by yourself. That you not have to do that. My child that passed when he was young, there were some heavy times. You don't lose a child at 11 years old. It's not meant to be. But I want you to know that even through that, God was very, very close to my wife and I. And God brought my wife and I really close together. And I had a family unit around me that cared me and cared for us and loved us so much and supported us as we went through that process. And I had a church that loved me and cared. I had people at work that came to my son's memorial service, and they were weeping and just so caring. I want you to know, we serve a God that cares just like that. We serve a God that knows everything about you. He knows your age. He knows where you were born. He knows what's going on in your body. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your family. And it is His desire that you succeed. Because God will never, ever, ever leave you alone. Ever. Because when we are alone, we are vulnerable. And God does not want us to be vulnerable. So let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you with why I can say I'm living the dream. I'm going to read you one more piece of scripture. I'll let you read it with me if you like. Psalm 23. Most of the time you hear this at a memorial service. Now, today you're just going to hear it as a scripture of joy. A scripture that has promises in it. I want you to read with me if you would. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Stop right there. What? I lack nothing. Is there something in your life that you think is lacking? Something that is missing? Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Anybody here need refreshing right now? Yes. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a promise of God. I want you to know, if you're trying to figure out who you are today, you're a part of the family of God. You are my brother. You are my sister. And because of that, I love you. There is no other option. There is no other option. Because as a brother or a sister, Even though I may have angered you someday, that's going to overcome that. Because the love of God in you, in me, is going to make a difference to the entire world. And we can say what is written in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and love is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm asking you this morning. I'm just asking. Do you want to know who you are? In Jesus? Do you want to have that relationship? Do you want to be able to say, oh, I'm living the dream, baby. I'm living the dream. Because the dream is available because of God. God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your health. He cares about your faith. He cares about your family. He cares about you. He cares about your mind. He cares about everything that your hand touches. And all we have to do is believe on Him, and He will provide that for you, because it is written in His Word. Oh, people, let me tell you, if you need a touch from Jesus today, Jesus is here. I felt it in the worship service. I was able to sit back there and just bask, knowing what was taking place up here, knowing what was taking place out here. Let me encourage you today. Reach out to Jesus. He's already reaching out to you. He will change your life, and you will never be the same. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just glorify you today, knowing that you are God, and according to your word, you are a God of love, and you are always faithful. So, Lord, this morning we would ask that you look upon the people here, the people at home who are watching at home. And as we search our own hearts, we want to be closer to you. We want to have that relationship with you so that we can realize our full potential of what you would have us to do. And while everybody's praying, I just want to know, first and foremost, do you know who Jesus is in your life? Have you realized who He is in your life? Or do you need to still find that out? Do you know who He is? Or would you be willing to raise your hand while nobody else is looking and say, no, I still need to know more? Yes. Anybody else? Bless God. All right, now let's go to stage two of that question. Is there somebody here who would say, oh, I know who Jesus is, and I know what He would like me to do, but I just carry so much weight, I just can't get out from under it. I need some help. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking. Yes. Because God does not want you to fail. He wants to help you. And one way He helps you is with people who are around you, who love you and care for you. And finally, is there somebody here who would say, you know, I know who God is. I know who He is in my life. But I need more joy in my life. I just need more joy in my life because I want to have that relationship with God. If that's you, again, nobody looking, just raise your hand. Yeah. Yes. Bless God. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, you saw the hands. You know the need. And God, we just pray today that, like your word said, everything we read today, just like your word says, we want to know who we are, we want to know who you are, and we want to know who we are in Christ, so that we can affect change around us and let that change start in us. And help us, Lord, to be the blessing to other people that you would have us be. Encourage us so that we can encourage others. And we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. It's beautiful out there. God loves you. So do we.